Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think it was about 2 weeks ago I had the opportunity to baptize four different children, and today after this Mass I'll have the opportunity to baptize two children. It's particularly beautiful to have baptisms on the solemnity of the Holy Trinity because it's in baptism that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come to dwell in our hearts. That's the unimaginable depths of God's love, that the very love of the Trinity, the love the Father has for the Son has for the Father, the Holy Spirit between them, the very love with which God loves himself, he loves you and puts it in your heart. So a beautiful day to have baptisms today. In baptism rituals, if you've been to a baptism, there's really two options on how to do it. Most priests and deacons choose the second option, which is kind of where everything takes place right at the baptismal font. And that's not a bad way to do it. I do the first option. The first option in good Catholic fashion and forum involves a lot of physical movement. So we're moving around. We actually start in the narthex, then we move to the baptismal font, and then we end actually in front of the altar because the final prayer looks forward to confirmation in First Holy Communion. The church even supplies songs that can be sung as you move from one to the other. But you all hear me chant the doxology, so you know I'm not a singer. So I don't sing them. But brothers and sisters, what I want to draw out today on this solemnity of the Holy Trinity, in that first option, the priest or the deacon who is baptizing, they meet the child or the person to be baptized, not at the doors of the nave, which is this part of the church, but they're called to meet the person to be baptized at the doors of the church, out by the narthex. Because the child to be baptized, they are not yet a member of the church, not yet fully a member of God's family. But they have been drawn to this place by the love of the Father through the Son who came to save us and give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's like the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son goes away, but it's his trust in the love of the Father that turns him towards home. But before he can even get close to the house, what does it say? The father ran out to greet him while he was still a long distance away. The priest or deacon going to the doors of the church is like the father running to his child because he is so excited to welcome them home. And so the priest meets them out in the narthex. What does the priest do? The priest asks the parents the name of the child, what their intention is for the child, and then the priest says, it is with great joy that we receive your desire to be baptized, and in the name of the church, I sign you with the cross of Christ our Savior, and then after me, your parents and godparents will do the same. That act of tracing the cross is when the desire for that person to be baptized is accepted by the church, and then we move to the baptismal font where it will happen. But that's an incredibly important gesture. The start of our Christian life, even before we are baptized, we are claimed with the cross of Christ our Savior. When else does that happen? In baptism, the very beginning of our life in Christ. It happens again at confirmation. Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit as the bishop or priest traces the cross on their forehead again. If you ever receive the anointing of the sick, if you are ever in any danger of death, the priest traces the cross on your forehead. And then what happens at the end of our lives? At the end of a wake service, at the end of a visitation, the last thing that happens before the casket is closed, the priest or deacon is supposed to trace a cross on the forehead of the body. Because brothers and sisters, what does St. Paul say? Whether we live or whether we die, we live and die in Christ. We have been claimed by him. And that tracing of the cross, baptism, new life, confirmation, maturity, and taking an active part in this world, anointing of the sick, physical decay, and then our funeral, going from this life to a new life. There is no part of your life that God is not intimately concerned about, intimately desiring to be close to. That's the beauty of the love of the Trinity, the Father who made us in wisdom and love, the Son who came to restore that image when we were caught in slavery, and the Spirit by which we change the face of this world by the sacraments that we receive. The tracing of the cross, which follows us from baptism until death, the beauty of God's love, all begins for each of us in baptism, in which we are cleansed of sin, made temples of the Trinity, and receive already at that very moment every seed of grace we will ever need to live the Christian life, the depth of God's love, that he draws close to every single moment in your life if you say yes. So not only have I had a lot of baptisms lately, I also had two marriage preps this week, and yesterday at 2:30 I had a wedding here. So I want to shift a little bit because they're intimately connected, because in my last session with couples before their wedding, I always want to focus them on what God is about to do, not just in the day of their wedding, but looking forward to the rest of their married life. What do they have to look forward to? Brothers and sisters, what I always remind our couples is that God will give us everything we need to be saints if we look with the eyes and the heart of God, and if we say yes. We often don't have to go out looking for ways to be holy, looking for ways to save the world. They're often right in front of us. But the question is, will we live our baptism, new sight, new heart, given by God? And so I'm going to give you an example I give my couples, and you might have heard it because I've said it in a homily before, and for some of you it's going to be too real. I almost need to give you a trigger warning, how real it might be, because it might stir up some memories. But I invite my couples to consider this. They get married. Maybe it's 5, 8, 10 years after. Imagine that they have come home from a long day of working, and they do everything with their kids, feed them dinner, make sure homework's done. The kids go to bed around 8 o'clock at night. Mom and dad maybe stay up till 10 o'clock at night so they can have some time either to themselves or together as a couple to unwind. And maybe sometime between 10 and 11, parents finally settle down to get some sleep for themselves because they just had a long day and they've got a long day coming up and they need the gift of new life given by sleep. But then what happens? You go to bed around 10, around 11 o'clock, out of the darkness, out of the quiet of the night, suddenly you hear pounding down the hall. It's your child running. But then suddenly, it stops. And then what do you hear? Vomiting on the floor. I told you, I trigger warned you, so you can't complain. Vomiting in the hall. So suddenly, what are you doing? You're throwing off those blankets. You're getting up as fast as you can to run out. You see the vomit, but you don't see your child. Because maybe the child has already made it to the bathroom. And maybe at this point, they're sitting on the toilet. Which is good news, in case it comes out both ends. Brothers and sisters, consider this, though. What is a very human way to look at this situation, which many of us do in our weaker moments? This is a huge inconvenience. This is a huge mess. I have just got 1 hour of sleep. Suddenly, I'm cleaning up vomit. I've got to calm down a child. We've got to decide who's cleaning up the vomit. That might be its own argument. But also, we've got to figure out who's watching this kid tomorrow. Who's going to get us into a doctor? There's a very human way of looking at it as this is a problem to be solved, and a very inconvenient problem at that for everyone involved. But brothers and sisters, what's another way to look at it? What's a way that someone baptized into the very life of God looks at that situation? Here is a child in the middle of the night. They are sick. They are afraid. They feel alone. The darkness is around them. Who's coming for me? Brothers and sisters, that's our life without Jesus Christ. But then what happens? Mom and dad, the ones who love me, they hear my cry. They are moved towards my need. And without a moment's hesitation, they are pursuing me. And suddenly in the darkness, there is light. There is warmth. There is security. And the suffering doesn't go away in the moment, but no longer am I suffering alone because someone has come to rescue me. And I'm going to be okay. In the messiness of my situation, they don't focus on that because it's not a problem to be solved. I am a person to be loved. Parents become in that moment for their children Jesus Christ, which is the very vocation of a parent, to help save their children, made in wisdom and in love. Children who are not problems to be solved, but people to be loved. And these parents give up life. They give up sleep, which they desperately need. They give up life to bring life and comfort to one in need. That is a Christian way of viewing that situation, not on our own power, but experiencing the fatherhood of God made available to us through the Son, lived out in the power of the Holy Spirit. But brothers and sisters, not only do the parents in that moment save their child is actually Jesus Christ to them. Because what does Jesus Christ do? He always gives us opportunities to be more than we have been, to love to a greater degree than we have ever thought possible, to become truly heroic, because he presents us opportunities of need. So those parents also in that moment have their hearts grow. They exercise new muscles. They become in a new way through their child who has need of them. So equally, the child in that moment is Christ to the parents. Another way to think of this, especially here on this Father's Day, St. John Paul II, writing in both the 1950s in his book Love and Responsibility and again in the 1990s on social economics, in both of those books, he talked about the reality that women so beautifully through motherhood are anchored in the life of their family. They're anchored in the life of their family because God literally creates a human soul that has never existed and will exist for all time within the body of a woman. It is a miracle. And women, in a particular way, are anchored in their family because their children have very real, physical, ever-present needs of them. John Paul II, though, pointed out that fathers also are called to be anchored in their families. But it doesn't come as natural because we don't carry a child for 9 months. So what does John Paul II posit in the 50s and in the 90s? It's incredibly important for fathers to have the freedom and the opportunities to be at home with their newborn children, to bond with them physically, emotionally, and spiritually in a way that a mother has been, so that this father can also be anchored. And one of the other ways to think about it, in the life of family, in the life of marriage, there are times where life gets kind of overwhelming. The waves are kind of high, and often one spouse or maybe both spouses feel like they're about to sink under the waves and perhaps drown. So they call out in help to their spouse. And they're not only calling out to their spouse to bring down the waves so they don't drown, although that is part of it. They're calling out in love. They're calling out in need. They're saying, especially to a father, you have something within you that this family needs, not just to make life more convenient or endurable. You have something within you that cannot be replaced, that needs actualized because we have need of you. You, as you are called to be, you who cannot be replaced. So the father or the mother, whatever the case is, shows up in a new way. But not only are they helping to make life manageable, they are actually being saved by the need of their spouse, saved by the need of their children, because there are depths of their humanity, depths of their identity that do not come into being fully until another has need of them. And so when a father or a mother answers that call of need, they are actually being saved because they are being brought into being, brought out of themselves. And brothers and sisters, what happens with children or grandchildren when they see mom or dad call out in need to the other? And that parent steps up to do things in the life of their family that are not normally theirs to do. But they see dad help out mom with things that are not normally dad's responsibilities. That's how children, that's how grandchildren learn the acts of charity. That sometimes there are others, whether I know them or not, who have need. And I've seen my parents move in love towards the need of each other. And I learn how to model that. As I see others in need, I move towards them. That's how children learn the acts of charity. Brothers and sisters, all of this is an elevated vision of human life, because that's what God came to restore us to. And brothers and sisters, it's not impossible, because in baptism, Jesus Christ gave you the seed of every grace you would need to live the Christian life. In holy matrimony, Jesus Christ gave every married couple the seed of every grace they would ever need to live married and family life. But you have to see it. You have to want it. You have to stay close to your family and closer to God so that you can see rightly, think rightly, perceive the need, and not only be a savior, but to actually be saved by the needs of others in love. So, brothers and sisters, this solemnity of the Holy Trinity, this Father's Day, the beauty of God's love, there is not a part of our life he doesn't care about. Cleaning up vomit can actually be a way to get to heaven, because God puts before us every opportunity we need and every help we need if we simply see it and say yes.